No, she had a bachelor's, also from Pitt, and in psychology, I think it was, and she's involved in what do you call it, preschool education.
Nice. Were they married long back then?
A couple of years. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe we can go back now that we know about your wife, because you took her from with you to Hiroshima, and that was a very interesting part of your life. And we'd just like to hear what you did when you got into Japan, into that area.
Well, we went by boat, which made it an even more interesting experience. The American President line, I don't know if they're still running, but I found the National Academy of Sciences runs, or is a partner in what was the Atomic Bomb Casualty Commission, although the Atomic Energy Commission supplied the money, but it gave the money to the National Academy, which then made it non-governmental, and the Academy, the National Research Council, which is part of the National Academy of Sciences, actually ran the operation at that time. And I found some fine print in the contract which said that you could go by ship, at least the expensive way, and that kind of intrigued us, because I had been very busy. I had taken time out during my mother's final illness, which had been unanticipated. It was complications after an elective cholecystectomy. And so I had overdrawn the amount of leave that I was entitled to, so I didn't have any more leave for that second year.
Excuse me, was your father already born when your mother died?
No, he wasn't. But we went to New York, you know,
right,
and tried to help. And so by way of vacation, we decided, let's go by boat. And at that time, it took 21 days. And that seemed like a nice vacation, especially since, because of the excess leave, my mustering out pay, virtually all of it was retained by the Air Force to pay back the days I owed them. So we didn't have any money, and, you know, 21-day vacation without paying for it seemed nice. So we went by boat. Well, Wilson, it wasn't, you know, I don't suppose it was a cruise ship in the sense of these Caribbean five-day things, but they were serving food every time you turned around, and it was very pleasant, very relaxing. When we got to Yokohama, I was sought out by Japanese reporters, and the first thing they wanted to know was whether I would eat the tuna fish. And, you know, we had been sort of out of it for 3 weeks, and it was during that period that the nuclear weapons test in Bikini had spread fallout, and there were restrictions on fishing, and all of that we missed. I didn't understand what they were referring to. There were some State Department people there who tried to get me out of this before I said the wrong thing. It was a strange time. We were at the end of the U.S. occupation. The operation then was, as I said, it wasn't government, because the AEC's money went through the National Academy of Sciences. So we were sort of civilians there, just but because of the occupation, American civilians had a certain special status. And
was it positive?
Yeah. We ended up, we had, for instance, the State Department supplied our passports, which were so-called special passports. It wasn't diplomat level, but it was the next level down, which gave all kinds of special privileges, bypassing customs, things like that. And the Japanese treated us as foreigners, not Japanese. So we sort of had the best of both worlds, whichever benefits we wanted, we had access to. And the State Department sort of looked after us, so they met us and clued me in on what the reporters were talking about. And we got to Tokyo and stayed at the Imperial Hotel, one that Frank Lloyd Wright designed. It's beautiful. But a typhoon was coming up the coast of Japan, and the train service had stopped. The airplane service was not established, commercial was not established yet, but there was military air, but that was grounded. And we spent the next 3 or 4 days in Tokyo. Well, unfortunately, as I said, my mustering out pay was pretty well diminished by the excess leave. The reimbursements for our expenses were waiting in Hiroshima. So there we were in Tokyo with no money. So we had to, every time we went out, we had to come back to the hotel to eat because we didn't have enough money. We could only go to things that were free. It was an interesting weekend in Tokyo. Then we got down and the typhoon was still spending itself. The train went along the coast.
Could you view?
Indeed we did. The train went along the coast of the Inland Sea, and the waves were breaking over the train window. It was very exciting, but beautiful. Everything was visually pleasing in Japan, and it was a beautiful country. Very different than Texas.
It was.
Yeah.
You mean, are you talking about the climate or the views?
The views, a lot of green everywhere. One of the strange things was the Japanese didn't paint their houses, so all the wood, we thought it was because of the war, but we discovered later that it was normal that the natural wood was allowed to show. But of course, if you come from the U.S., everything looked so drab. But the natural setting was magnificent. The hillsides, mountains, patches, the farms, just immaculately maintained. And the thatched roofs, rice straw, or the tile roofs. It was just fascinating.
That was the advantage of going by train.
Yeah.
Now, where were you headed for?
For Hiroshima. When we got there, there was a jeep waiting for us. My wife at this point was, David was born in January and this was August, so she was conspicuously pregnant. And we were traveling by jeep because the roads had not yet been repaired. The destruction was still all around. And the Atomic Bomb Casualty Commission was up on a hill overlooking the city. The city is a sort of bowl shape. One part of it faces the ocean, and then there are seven rivers, so-called rivers, their tidal flow, that intersect with the city, and surrounding it is a range of mountains in a semicircle. We were up on one of these hills, there were some very large Quonset huts with Red Cross still painted on the roofs, and that was the Atomic Bomb Casualty Commission. We lived for a while in the BOQ, the Bachelor Officers' Quarters, which...
You and your wife were in the bachelor's?
Yeah, well, BOQ was the generic name for...
I see.
It was Japanese design and Australian, but construction. And it was very efficient built-in cupboards. They Australians had adapted the Japanese styles,
mm-hmm.
which also Mr. Wright has done very well if you've been to Falling Water.
Yes.
It's a very pleasing kind of and very efficient kind of architecture. The Australians were a large component of the Caucasian population because the Australian prisoners of war had been kept in that area and indeed had done a lot of construction work under duress, tunnels through hillsides and things. We always worried a little, knowing the Australians, about when these things would collapse on us.
Okay.
We got to know the Australians because it was the Korean War was still phasing out, and they were the British Commonwealth forces had their headquarters near Hiroshima in Japan. That was their main headquarters for their troop employments or deployments, and a lot of them were Australian.
Were there also among your colleagues?
Yes,
at
ABCC, that's Atomic Bomb Casualty Commission, it's just easier to say.
Right.
At ABCC, a number of Australians were employed on the staff. The art supervisor was Australian. Caucasians were in the senior positions in the departments, and then the rest were Japanese nationals. So the building design, construction, maintenance were Australian, and a number of the other.
So you were doing research at this place?
Yeah, the ABCC was set up by President Truman it was the Secretary of the Army, James Forrestal, had proposed that the initial observations, scientific observations, were made by the Army and Navy medical officers immediately after the bombing. They developed what was called a joint commission on the effects of the bombing. And that meant Army and Navy, our Army and Navy, that made it joint commission. And they continued for about 2 years to compile data, and then it was obvious that a long-term follow-up was warranted, and so Forrestal recommended to Truman that the National Academy of Sciences be the agency, and its National Research Council component did the actual operation of the place. So the staff were hired by NRC, the National Research Council, and supplies, all that went through NRC in Washington.
So it was really government-sponsored?
Well, NRC is not government. That was the point, I guess. The Atomic Energy Commission is a government agency.
Right.
It gave the money to the National Academy of Sciences, which is chartered by the government. Abraham Lincoln, in fact, chartered it initially. And it is a quasi-governmental, but not government. So people aren't working on the federal payroll. They're working for
right.
National Academy. We worked as employees of the National Research Council. So that gave us interesting benefits. Our income tax was collected, but we were technically U.S. citizens working in a foreign country, and since if we had been federal, we would have not. They would
right.
have been U.S. But, so when we got back, for instance, we got our tax refund of all the taxes that were collected.
That's very nice.
Well, I bought our house in Pittsburgh. That was the down payment.
And what was your focus?
I was the head of the of hematology, which was part of the internal medicine department of the follow-up program. We, in the follow-up program, examined A-bomb survivors, a subset of the total population. The total population was followed from the standpoint of death certificates, but then a subset of the population was examined each year, medical examinations, and we carried out the examinations and the laboratory studies.
And they were right there at the hospital?
They were brought to the hospital. We had a motor pool, and they were brought in by appointment, and no charge, of course. And the information was shared with their physicians. When they got sick, if they were hospitalized in the community, we went to the hospitals. We got to know all the medical directors and the doctors in town. We had a small inpatient facility. I think it was about a dozen beds, but it was mainly for detailed workups when they were indicated. We used it also to supplement the level of care that the community could provide. This was still, as I said, the end of the occupation was, we were phasing out, and so their resources were very limited. So we also provided medications that we would make rounds as advisors in the community hospitals and then supply medications which they didn't have access to. Mm-hmm. In my field, you know, it meant we were treating leukemia through them with U.S. drugs because they couldn't get the drugs.
Yes.
That weren't being made in Japan yet.
Right.
So we were actually trying to facilitate the health care in exchange for collecting data. Mm-hmm. And we also trained the Japanese physicians. As I said, there were a couple of us Caucasians in each department, but below us we had young physicians that were assigned there by their National Institute of Health or by the universities, and we helped to train them.
Now, the data that you were collecting, was that to bring back here, or was that to turn over to the Japanese when you left?
Both. Both. Even at its inception, after the occupation, the Atomic Bomb Casualty Commission was a joint enterprise of our NRC and their NIH, which had developed then under the occupation a number of ways of doing things. Our ways were taken over by them, such as an NIH. They have very effective.
How did you react to seeing how people suffered as a result of our having that bomb?
I suppose my reaction was conditioned by a couple of things. One, by having participated in the above-ground bomb tests and seeing what I saw in the desert, and then in my own mind when I saw Hiroshima, picturing, you know, because we knew exactly at what level and where over the city, and picturing what that must have been like. It was also conditioned by knowing what went on in World War II and what was needed, and particularly what a continued effort at invasion of the Japanese islands would have cost us. You know, the islands that we took back in the Pacific was a bloody battle, Okinawa and every one of them, and then picturing in Japan what that would have been with, you know, not only the army but the people following the instructions of the emperor as it was interpreted by the military machine. And then the people themselves accepted not the blame, but their general feeling was that it was, the blame was that of their military machine and not the U.S., that it was the military machine that had gotten them into this with the adventure of trying to develop what they called the Japanese East Asian Co-Prosperity Sphere, by which it meant that Japan would take over everything in Asia that was worthwhile. And they blamed their military. They didn't blame the emperor. They blamed the military for misleading the emperor. The emperor was still very important, even though he was, they tried to demythologize him, but MacArthur handled it so effectively that it helped the occupation and the recovery of Japan. The emperor's son visited us at ABCC one time, and you know, this was no longer a god or the son of a god, but still very much revered. I don't know if I mentioned his visit. This is the one, he's now the emperor, Akihito. He visited ABCC as part of his family duties and came to my laboratory, and we knew he was coming to the... I had the first radioisotope laboratory in Japan, and certainly the first in Hiroshima. They were very sensitive to the idea of radiation, as you can expect. Sure. Our Atomic Energy Commission didn't want me to have an isotope lab. I needed it for the hematologic research. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. The Japanese said this is a U.S. operation, so they didn't want to have anything to do with it. So I ran what probably was the only unlicensed isotope laboratory in the world, because everywhere it's regulated. But I ordered my isotopes. I didn't have to ask any government agency permission the way I do here. Akihito, that was scheduled to visit us, I wanted the machines to be clicking so that, you know, it looked interesting. And I had detectors and then the scalers that we used in those days that counted the radiation in the detector it was picking up, and the wheels, the lights would flash. And I had one, more scalar than detector. You could turn the scalar on and test it with a 60-cycle current, and the lights would flash. So I thought that would be good and make it look more impressive. Akihito came in with his courtiers, dressed in formal clothes. I mean, they were very serious. And he asked some... We told them, you know, translated. We spoke, they translated. Then he asked some questions. And one of the questions was, he pointed to the scalar that I had running on 60 cycle, and he wanted to know where the detector was, because the scalar was counting. Mm-hmm. And I realized too late, had a scientific background, and he knew I was faking the display.
I see.
And I'm sure he knew that I knew when he asked that question. He knew darn well what he was doing, which was telling me that he understood that I was faking the display. And I mumbled something about testing the machine or something, but it taught me a lesson. Yes. I mean, I never faked a display after that.
Yeah,
that taught me.
He was more than just a figurehead.
Yeah, and, you know, I learned that they had real formal scientific training. Of course, mm-hmm. the father was a scientist, an eminent marine biologist. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he discovered new species, published papers. That was his main interest, really, was marine biology, and the sons had a scientific education. So I goofed.
Uh-huh.
But the feeling of the people toward Akihito, he gave me a pack of cigarettes. The cigarettes were manufactured, the government had the monopoly on tobacco mm-hmm. in Japan, and they had a special, you know, a line for the imperial household, which had the imperial chrysanthemum on it. You wouldn't put the chrysanthemum design on anything in Japan except for the imperial family. And each of the cigarettes had this little chrysanthemum design. And that was a great, you know, if I really wanted to honor somebody, it turned out, I would give them one of these cigarettes, and I doled these out very carefully because of the feeling they still had for the imperial family. So,
Did you then, you said that, you mentioned earlier that you had stayed on an additional year. You were due there 2 years.
Yeah, so we, two-year contract.
Was that because of the studies that you wanted to stay on? Or did you
we
have
were
to complete something?
Involved, we were learning Japanese things. My wife and I both were studying Japanese musical instruments. She was painting, learning the Japanese calligraphy, which is the same as painting. The same word in Japanese means writing and painting, because writing is an art, when you have these symbols. And so she was learning sumi-e, the Japanese painting, and the kids were young, and we had two maids when we had the second kid, so we had a maid for each, and we had a gardener, and the costs were, you know, minimal, so that it seemed like a good idea for us and for the kids to stay a little longer. And it was a beautiful country. It was hard to tear ourselves away.
Yes. Either of your children started school there, or were they too young?
No, they were too young.
They were too young.
When we came back, let's see, David was maybe 2 and a half, and Philip was about 1.5 years.
Now, were you...
Or maybe 3 and 2, something like that.
Mm-hmm. When you did decide to leave, had you completed some particular goal?
The work was and is continuing. Studies... it's now, ABCC is now RERF, Radiation Effects Research Foundation. It's still a joint foundation, but it is much more largely dominated by the Japanese part than by ours, with the decline of the dollar and the strength of the yen. They have taken over more of the
expenses. So you have initiated that program, is that right?
Yeah, I was part of the program, but remember, I got there in 1954. The studies had begun in 1945. In 1947, the Atomic Bomb Casualty Commission had been created. The work now, as I say, has gone into its third administrative format, but the objective is to continue it till the end of the lifespan of the youngest survivor, which means the youngest survivor is now 1993, 48 years old, which means it probably will continue for another 30 years.
Now, do you get that material? Or are you keeping up with that?
Yeah, I think it's the crucial material on which our regulations and radiation protection are based, and not only ours, but all over the world.
Oh.
It's based very largely on the Japanese experience. The late effects of radiation aren't different in their appearance than the same diseases in people who have no unusual radiation exposure. Leukemia looks the same regardless of its origin. And the same goes for all of the forms of cancer and genetic defects. So you can only detect these things by knowing that they increase in frequency in relation to dose in a population where you know the radiation history, and that is uniquely the Japanese population.
And when you decide to leave, I don't know when that was, where did you opt to go?
That was 1957. As I said, the correlations have to be made between the biologic endpoints and the dose.
Right.
The exposure side of the story was neglected initially. It wasn't part of our military purpose in bombing the cities. It had to be reconstructed. I'll bet we're picking that up beautifully.
Yeah.
It had to be reconstructed, and I had worked with, while I was in the Air Force, with the Oak Ridge National Laboratory people, and the in the Nevada desert, and we had corresponded. They understood the importance of the study, and so as a result, they got involved in the dosimetric reconstruction. History was taken on from each A-bomb survivor on where they were exactly. Charts were drawn to determine what shielding was interposed between the weapon, because the burst point was known, and the yield. Mm-hmm. And a best estimate of dose for each individual survivor was developed. And to do this, you had to know at a given distance.